No, you got it bad when you're eating the Quackers and everyone's got Pop Tarts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love the Wicked.
Yeah!
Yes!
Oh my god.
Yes!
Y'all. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm Michael, and with me as always is Bethany. Bethany, how was your holiday?
Tell me. It was great, y'all. I really held space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity. I held space for it being Happy Vagina Christmas, everyone. It's Happy back, Vagina baby. We're back in the Vagina Christmas season. I'm very excited. If that doesn't mean anything to you, find Christmas episodes from last year. I don't know. It's a running joke that we have about an ornament, a peach ornament, and then it just became Vagina Christmas. But yes, my break was overall good, but it was a little bad because on Wednesday I worked a half day and then I went and saw Wicked, which was a real highlight, which we're gonna hold space for that today, y'all, before we dive into chapter 12. Just so you know, we're only doing one chapter tonight because we are a little chatty. We're chatty broads, as we've said before, and we had a week off in which a lot of things happened. Taylor Swift release, Target, you know, mayhem. We had obviously Wicked, which we must discuss. We cannot wait till Chaos Thursday, everyone. We must discuss it now. It is of utmost importance. It's my entire brain since I've seen it. So obviously that was a real highlight. And then I woke up violently ill on actual Thanksgiving. So I had plans to make a whole meal. I had purchased things to make a whole meal. And I did not eat a single thing all day because it was just, could not hold anything down. So that was a real bummer because you're like looking forward to break from work and then you're sick. So that sucked. Thankfully, thanks to stomach bugs, it was a 24-hour thing. So I was up and rearing to go on Friday for the Taylor Swift, whatever. Well, not rearing to go, but I was up. I was capable of doing it, which I did not think honestly was going to happen on Thursday. I went into bed. I was like, I'm going to set an alarm. Like, I doubt. And then I was like, I'm good. I'm ready. Let's go.
Same.
Yeah, and thankfully it felt much better the rest of the time. And we had Makeup Thanksgiving on Saturday, so all is well that ends well. Also, you all know I literally texted my mom. Again, if you are new to Hate Spinnerbait and you have not been listening from the get-go, anyone who is a day one fan knows I am very anti-Thanksgiving. So I literally woke up and my body was rejecting it. So I text my mom and I go, even my body is rejecting Thanksgiving right now. That is how much I loathe it, apparently. So it's not like the biggest holiday to, like, if I'm going to be sick on a holiday, thank God it was that one. And we ate a meal on Saturday, so it was fine. But it was just like the fact that I had a break from work. And then I was like, no,
I know.
It's killing the buzz. But you know what? I digress. How was your break? Did your body reject Thanksgiving?
No, I gotta tell you, thanks. I know that you have other thoughts and feelings,
I do.
But Thanksgiving dinner is the best thing in the entire world. And my mother-in-law made it this year. And it was so good. Oh my God.
What's your like go-to? What's your favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner?
It has to have everything.
All of it.
Or it's incomplete. Stuffing. Mashed potatoes, turkey, gravy, and jellied cranberry sauce.
I do love cranberry sauce. I'm going to give Thanksgiving that one. I do actually. I know a lot of people don't, but I do enjoy cranberry sauce. I'm going to give it that one.
I love it. It like just adds the perfect oomph
tart. A little something. A little sweet, but a little tart. A little something to the palate. To the palate. For fancy people. We passed by a very fancy Michelin star restaurant once in Europe, so we know food.
Yeah.
We can never afford to eat there in our wildest dreams. But we know food. We're real foodies. What can we say?
Yeah.
But yes, should we briefly, before we hold space for Wicked, which is like my favorite meme that has come. I really love how that has just become a whole thing. And like people, Friendsgivings, like actually holding space, like holding a seat for Defying Gravity. Like it's just so good. It's my favorite thing, truly. That interview, I've watched that clip like so many times. If I'm ever having a bad day in the future, everyone just send me that clip and it'll really lift my spirit. I truly lift my spirits. Just everything about it. Like the interview, the sincerity of it, which honestly is very sweet. Like everyone in it is so sincere and that is like so lovely. Ariana just grabbing her finger, like her whole hand coming her one finger. I live. I die. It's beautiful. It's my favorite thing on like the entire internet. But before we dive into Wicked, let us briefly discuss our Friday. And then, of course, what we're actually going to discuss is just Sarah Dessen book Saying Anything. Let us briefly discuss the Taylor Swift of it all. I'm dying to know people. I've seen a few posts of people being like, I lined up.
Okay. Thank you. We can still see him. I don't know. Now everyone's going to see him just crawling on the floor. I don't know.
That really made my experience personally. That was fantastic. I also love that we have a little Christmas in the background. I just noticed that as well, thanks to Andrew crawling. Oh, look at that. It's Christmas, y'all. Merry Swiftmas to all who celebrate. But yes, speaking of Swiftmas, I am intrigued. Please let us know in the comments on this video. If you're watching us on YouTube, plug in the comments on wherever you listen to this podcast or on our Instagram posts, wherever you feel the need to comment. I want to know what your Target experience was like if you went, because I'm so intrigued. Like, some people were like, I showed up at 8 a.m. and there was like a bunch of stuff and I didn't have to wait in line, suckers. And the other people were like, it was gone in minutes. Also, anyone, thank you. Sorry, I know that was really loud. Anyone who thought that people were lining up for the book, like, that wasn't it. Like, the book was a bonus. Like, I was like, I'll get the book if it's there, but that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was the vinyl, and I thought that that would be in more limited numbers. So
I was going to say, absolutely was. At least at my Target, it was in very limited numbers. I got in, Target opened at 6. I got in at 6:05. They were completely sold out. My friend Victoria, shout out, went to Target on Saturday night casually and got one.
That's crazy. That's so weird. It is so funny, like, how it is, like, how that is. But I'm very happy for anyone who was able to get it casually. Yes. But also, like, this is the least wild thing I've done for Taylor Swift. So, like, it wasn't really that crazy. I mean, it's wild to me to, like, get up and do the whole, like, lining up for Black Friday thing, because I've never done that. But
me either.
Obviously, we have done crazier things in our fandom and our love for Taylor. So, like, it was the least I could do. It wasn't a big deal. I've been waiting for the anthology on vinyl. I've not bought any version of TTPD, literally any, because I was like, I'm waiting. I know inevitably she's going to drop it, and I want the full thing. So, I think it was worth it. These ladies behind me were, like, so annoying. That's my one complaint. Like, overall, it was great. I told Michael Ann this already, but the girls in front of me were fun. They were, like, everyone was there, like, in their Eras Tour merch, you know, whatever. Like, we all knew we were there for. And right before, it's, like, 5:59, the Target doors were about to open. They put on Applause by Lady Gaga, which, of course, is, like, the song that basically comes on right before Taylor enters the tour. So I was like, that's fantastic. Like, that was really funny. And I thought they were great. But the ladies behind me were driving me up a wall, because there was this one lady who, like, clearly was into it, but was trying to act like she wasn't. And I was like, ma'am, you're here lined up at 5 a.m. with the rest of us. Like, if you're trying to be cool, like, it's like, cringe culture doesn't exist here. Like, I don't care. I'm proudly here. And she kept acting like Taylor Swift, like, because the whole thing was, she was 43. She said it's like 18,000 times. And she was there with her younger sister. And, like, I could tell there was an age gap between them. And she made it act like she went to the show more for her sister. And I'm like, I think you were into it. And, like, she was here because her sister wanted the book. And, like, and she was just so surprised they bought their little cousin a shirt and that it's so big, because, like, with a predominant amount of her fan base being children. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, look at the line of people you're in.
Not anymore.
I don't really think that's true. She's been in the biz for a while. And also, there's nothing wrong with having children fans either. Like, that's not the point. But she was just, like, so, like, I'm too cool for this. And I was like, you're not impressing anyone. Like, all of us are happy to be here. We are excited to be here. Like, shut up. Like, she was so annoying. But yeah, my Target did it kind of weird. They lined us all up outside. They came out with a little flyer, like, showing you where the Black Friday deals were. And they asked you, like, are you here for Black Friday? Are you here for Taylor? And all of us were like, Taylor, like 90% of us were. And they're like, okay, there's going to be a stand right when you enter the store. You can't miss it. Cool. So I think we're going to go in there. It's just going to be a free for all. We do it. I think maybe once they went out and checked with the line and saw that 90% of us were there for Taylor, they may have been like, that might not be good. We don't want, like, people fighting over Stanley's incident. So they potentially smartly decided to go ahead and just have us line up when we entered the Target. The only problem was, is they were like, hey, line up by the greeting cards. We're going to have you enter one by one, yada, yada, yada. But then the line was too long. And the people that were just trying to enter the store for normal shopping were like, what is this line? And we're getting blocked. So they're like, we're going to move you to the back wall to, like, get the Taylor Swift fans out of the way, you know? except for then they just made an announcement, we're moving line to the back, and then everyone just starts cutting each other. And I was like, that's not fair. Like, I lined up at 5:20 outside in the cold, and now these people that I know are behind me in line are getting in front of me. So that I was like so worried, because you had already texted me that the vinyl was out, and I was like, I swear to God, because we moved the line to the back wall, I'm gonna be so annoyed. So they had us there, and then it was weird, like right when you got to like the entrance point, like where the display was, they asked for your name and phone number, and I was like, what is the purpose of this? And I saw some people online say that when they were waiting out in the cold in places where it was like snowing, Target has this like thing basically, and it held their place in line, and then they got a text when the store opened and they just came into the warm and did it. No, they let us wait outside in line. And then right as you were about to enter, they asked for it. And I was like, what is the purpose of this? The only thing I could think of was they were trying to get a head count. So that way, inevitably, they could tell people like, hey, we're out of this. Like, if you're in line for this, you know, whatever. I'm not really sure, because they probably knew like the quantity of things that they had. But it was kind of weird. Anywho, I ended up getting it. Yay. I picked up a vinyl for Michael Land because she obviously did not get the opportunity to, and then did restock online. So she bought it online because she knows I'm terrible at shipping things. So I think she was like, that's never going to get to me. I will inevitably see her in person. I would give it to her, I promise. I really was going to ship it. I was like, she's going to be so proud of me and so amazed. I'm going to ship this so quick. And she's like, oh my God. But yeah, but she knows me too well and was like, nah, I'm just going to get it. So anyways, but we had one for her, just in case, everyone. If you were following along with us on Instagram, everyone got it. We are happy. We have the anthology. We have the book. All's well that ends well. But the little girl who was taking the names and numbers, which again, I don't really understand why, because there's like a few people like working, Target employees working that line.
The little girl? Mine. Did you just say the little girl?
She obviously is not a little girl. Target is not employing underage people. They're following labor laws, y'all. But she was like, I don't know, anyone younger than me is a little girl, you know? She was clearly like a woman in her 20s. Anyways, but she was little. She was like this little petite thing. And she was like, sweet. She just walked up and she was like, what's your name and a phone number? And then I did. I got this text that was like, you were in line for the ticket. And I was like, yeah, I've been in line for an hour. I don't, now that I'm about to enter. I still don't understand it, but it was whatever. So anyways, they were all really nice, really helpful. Doing the best that they can. Again, they are there at the butt crack of dawn working on Black Friday. Thank you so much. Like, y'all were awesome. But anywho, I get out of line. I just get mine. I'm, of course, super nice to everyone because I'm so thankful. Like, it sucks that you had to be there that early and deal with all this insanity. Like, thank you so much for being here. You rock. So, you know, I thank all of them, whatever. And that woman who just took my name like 10 minutes ago is standing with two other Target employees and crying. And I literally walk by and I go, tell me who it was. I will kick them. Like, I literally went up to the Target employees because I was like, oh, fuck no. Like, no. And I was like, I hope it wasn't a Stiffy, because like, don't give Stiffy bad names. Like, we were good people. And so she like, you know, laughed or whatever. And they're like, see, she's got your back. And I was like, you're doing so great. I'm so sorry that people are mean. I carried on in my way. But I was like, what the heck? What happened? I saw her like 10 minutes ago. She was taking people's names and numbers. Like, how could someone have been mean to her? So yeah, be nice to retail workers right now, please. Like, it is the worst time of the year for them. Like, please show some grace and some patience. But yeah, I was like, don't make the little girl cry.
Yeah, don't make that little girl cry. That little girl that was collecting our numbers, nobody collected my name and phone number. Interestingly enough, free from.
Yeah, it was very strange. I was like, I don't understand the purpose of this. I was like, is this market research? Am I about to start getting on some mailing list? I don't, like, I like got real boomer about it for a minute. I was like, I don't know if I should be giving out my intel.
Excuse me, what are you going to do with that?
What are you going to do with that? I was like, whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, Bethany, this is my number. But yes, that is that. Are you ready? Are you ready to discuss the Wicked?
Wicked, yes. No, we need. This is what I've been waiting for. I've been sitting here patiently,
just waiting for him. Okay. Dive in.
Speechless.
Yeah,
speechless. Brilliant. Cynthia and Ariana both killed it. So good.
All the Oscars. Give them all the awards.
Just give them everything. Don't even bother with anyone else.
Yeah.
It's theirs.
Maybe Jonathan Bailey can get some awards as well. Like, from this cast. But like, as far as the female, like, actors, like the leads. Yeah. Give them everything. Although I think they'll put Ariana up for supporting, just to not split the votes, which is kind of smart. But just to be clear, they are both the leads in this film. Just like, just to be clear. But I understand from like a marketing perspective, like to get more awards, they'll probably split. They'll give Cynthia, they'll campaign for Cynthia for lead and Ariana for supporting, I assume.
But it was beautiful. It's been a really long time since I've seen the play. I saw the play when I was like 17, 18 years old. And I remember loving it. But I was dumb back then. So to be honest.
to be fair.
So watching it now, I understand the story a lot better. I was sobbing. I was crying when they had the little cub in the cage.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers ahead.
Yeah, spoilers. If you haven't seen Wicked and you don't want spoilers, tune out now.
Yes. So they had, and I cried. And then obviously the end with Defying Gravity. I mean.
Yeah. Chef's kiss. Everything.
Chef's kiss. And I think Ariana really nailed it too. In the first scene with Nobody Mourns the Wicked, the way she changed her facial expressions to, yes, like the mourning Elphaba versus like putting on her performance for the town.
Right.
I was like,
so good.
So good.
So good. The little like dance at the Oz Dust ballroom, that just
that got me good. That got me good. I also think, and I'm not the only one that thinks this, so don't come at me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kristen Chenoweth and Ariana Grande said the same thing. Galinda is gay.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I couldn't find a way to make it do what you did, but I was going to try there for a minute. No, I think there's definitely a lot of like, you can see that. Like, there is, I'm fine, obviously, if people want to make the two of them in a platonic friendship, like, because I think the story, we are the biggest fans of female friendships and stories about female friendships, and this is such a beautiful story about one. But I also think if people read it as them being in love with each other, I think that's totally fair as well. Like, I think either way is like a totally fair interpretation of this story, because I'm like, I could see it go either way. And I think like the thing I loved so much about the movie, well, everything, obviously, but it's just like, that is one of the things, like, I am such a fan, and when you have a certain medium and you take advantage of it, like, there are certain things, like, when you're adapting a book to a movie, you're like, oh, and this, certain things aren't just gonna translate as well. But there are certain things that are so great about film, and adapting something like a musical, well, obviously there's a book and there's a musical, but in a musical, like, you are so far away from the stage and you can't get those microfacial expressions. So yeah, like literally from the jump, from No One Mourns the Wicked, when you're seeing all those micro expressions, which again, Ariana Grande did like an absolutely phenomenal job, like was very impressed with her. I was like, oh, this is going to be good, because like you can, there's all of these things that you can see because you are close to them, which great is the great thing about the medium of film. And I'm just like so impressed. John M. Chu, like honestly, all the awards to him as well. Like he did great within The Heights. Like give this man all the musicals, because he clearly knows how to make a movie musical. He knows how to adapt a musical and make it work to the medium of film. And I was just astounded. Like it is so good. Like I remember when the casting choices came out, I was kind of like, okay, you know, whatever, we'll see. And then, like, the previews came out, and I was like, I'm, like, getting excited. And then, like, Buzz started coming out, and people were like, this is really good. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm, like, getting really excited. But then, like, seeing it, like, it's truly my entire brain. Like, I've just been, like, listening to the soundtrack. I've been humming it. Like, it's just stuck in my head all the time. My entire algorithm this past week has just been Wicked, because I like can't stop watching stuff about it. I'm loving all the content. I'm loving all the Broadway shows doing the, what is this feeling choreography, like all the different people doing that, just like all the edits, all the, this, like the rabbit holes I have gone down. I saw a TikTok the other day of this lady being like, this could be this generation, like I guess Gen Alpha, so to speak, is probably the right age. Like this is their glee. Like this is going to be the moment that gets the next generation into like musical theater. And I was like, yes, yes. And she's like, cringe is coming back, baby. Flash mobs are coming back. A cappella groups are coming back. She's like, there are 14-year-old girls out there that are either going to get a boyfriend or going to get into musical theater. And this is their moment. This is their gateway. And I was like, absolutely. Like, I'm so happy for like all the little musical theater nerds that this, same, like, is going to be. And also, can I get on my like this is one of my biggest soapboxes of all time about musical theater, is this is why you need to make theater more, like, basically, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? So, yeah, thank you. Accessible. Because I am going to bet money that thanks to this movie, your sales for your Wicked tour and Wicked on Broadway are going to go up. And the fact that they're always like, we shouldn't film the shows. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't stream them because then people wouldn't go. No, no. That never in the history of ever. First of all, look at Disney Plus when they put Hamilton on. It was a big success for the streamer, which also was a big success for Hamilton because they made money. Are tickets for Hamilton any cheaper on Broadway? No. People are still going in droves. You get a little taste of it and then you want to go see it live yourself. Like, I've never understood that argument. Like, anyone ever who has, like, seeing Wicked the movie, like, so many people, this is their first, you know, foray into to Wicked, the story of Wicked, are going to want to see it when it comes on tour the next time in their city. Like, I'm betting money on it. So, like, make theater accessible. Mother effing film this shit. I don't understand why it is our Lord's year 2024 and we're still not filming Broadway musicals and making them accessible to the general public. Drops mic.
Preach. I agree.
It's me real fired up.
I agree. It was so good. I can't wait to see it again because I'm definitely going to see it again.
I have to go see it in theaters at least one more time because, like, I just have to go see it on the big screen again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was just, oh, there's so many things. I've also gone down so many rabbit holes and so many videos and back and behind the scenes videos. And, like, I saw this video because, like, I saw this video of Ariana Grande, and, like, I am an Ariana Grande fan musically. Like, I think I've said that before. I like her music a lot. But I know that as a person, she's pretty problematic, especially because she, like, cosplays as different races.
Yeah.
White. Right now she is white. So.
Right. So, like, this is great. Like, thank you, Wicked, for making Ariana the race of which she actually is.
Yes. But I love her music. I love everything. But I have no, like, real connection to her personally. But seeing how she has been wanting to play Galinda on since she was 10 and then finally getting the opportunity to do it, sobbing.
Yeah.
Sobbing.
I do love watching people's dreams come true.
I love it. And now I'm getting really depressing Ariana Grande and Mac Miller content. And I'm like, I don't need that.
I don't need that.
I remember that clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need anymore.
You know what? Not to, like, also be a downer, but I don't know where, like, how this even came up yet the other day, but I was, like, talking to Mike about something and he was like, Ariana Grande just seems like she's, like, a brat. And I was like, well, she's, like, a diva. Yeah. Like, that's, like, her, like, persona. And I was like, she's, like, of pop stars. Like, there's a few different tropes you can fall into and she is a diva one. And I was like, I'm sure, like, to people, again, on this press tour, she has seemed very lovely. No one has ever, like, said anything bad. I know that she is a bit of a diva. She won't, you know, go out in what we call Ariana Grande reign. She won't go out and perform it or whatever. But mind you, that was years ago. Maybe she's changed as a person and went now. I don't know. And I was saying, obviously, like, I also feel for her to a certain extent because she did have a really rough couple of years there. And Mike's like, well, what happened? And I was like, what do you mean what happened? And he had, like, no recollection of, like, the Manchester bombing incident. And I was like, how do you not know about? Like, that was a big deal. And then, like, just seriously, like, a very rough couple of years. And it's, like, on that regard, again, I'm sure she's probably not the greatest person ever. I don't like the fact that she puts on different races. But I think she's probably, you know, she's a very loyal person. She is a massive musical theater nerd. Like, this is a dream role for her. And just, like, on a human level, you have to, like, feel for her. Like, you have to be happy for her on that. So, and again, she really blew me away in this role. I think she literally was born to play this. So, and she tried so hard. I think that's the other thing, too, is, like, sometimes I think, you know, it almost could be seen as stunt casting and just, like, knowing how much she put into it. 6 months before she even auditioned, she was taking voice lessons and acting lessons, and her voice is phenomenal in this. Like, you could tell how much this meant to her, and she wasn't just like, oh, I'm Ariana Grande, and I'm a pop star, and I'm going to go in and phone it in because, like, they need me. Like, she wanted this. Like, she wanted this more than they wanted her, in a sense.
Yes.
Which also just, like, so works for her character in this movie. Like, the, like, you know, and I just think that that's brilliant. And I also love how, like, it just, I was thinking the other day after I saw it, because obviously knowing the story of Wicked going in, I knew that a lot of people were, you know, obviously it's just kind of perfect timing. It came along when it did, when all of us kind of needed something like this, you know, with obviously the political climate that's going on in the country and in the world. And I just remember also in, 2016, how like the same thing kind of happened when Rogue One came out. Like, I would have loved Rogue One and it would have hit me a lot, but I think it really hit me considering what had just happened in American politics. So this coming out when it did, like, also really was just like, whoa, that's a- all right.
Yeah.
kind of a thing, but yes, it's, yeah, it just is like, it's so good, and I can't wait to see it again, and I can't wait to see part two next year. And I know, like, a lot of people say, like, part two is like act one is a little bit like stronger than act two. Like, act two is a little bit like messy because it's like timeliney, wonky, whatever. But I'm hoping that the movie hopefully can kind of fix some of that, because it obviously, like, we had this much time with part one, and I think, and the movie did do some things with the story that's like a little bit different than the musical that I thought was very strong. And good decision. So I'm hoping that maybe act two, because we'll have a little bit more time or whatever, we'll kind of fix some of those issues. But I do really enjoy act two a lot personally. Some of my favorite songs are in act two. So I'm very excited to openly sob through that as well.
Yes. I can't time. Wait.
Can't wait. Sign me up. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Let's go. Girl power. Okay.
Girl power. Yeah, it was really amazing. I love that Cynthia did all of her own stunts. That, like, just really adds another layer of, like, how dedicated they both were. And, you know, their press tour has been insane, and they've been, like, bawling their eyes out at every turn. But you know what? After watching that movie,
I get it.
I get it.
I'm like, I'd be bawling too. I am bawling. Jesus.
Yeah. Like, right, if I waiting. Was them, I would be clutching her also, hand at all times.
I was just thinking about this the other day. I was like, Cynthia Erivo is like so pretty that even in like green makeup, I was just like, wow. I'm like obsessed with her glasses as well. Like, what a great costuming choice. Like, they just like make her look like, like, I mean, she is gorgeous, obviously, but I was just like, this is not even fair. Like, even green, she's just like stunning. Like, I was so annoyed. I would not look pretty if I was green. I don't like look great now, so I can't imagine. But I was like, dang, like, that's just good for you. And her voice, like, obviously, a lot of people have done Defying Gravity. There's been a lot of great versions, and I think the more the merrier. Be a fan of all of them. Have you seen this guy? He's like, he's just like six different parts on TikTok, and he's sitting there, and one of his friends is just playing different versions of different people who played Aquaba, and he like guesses them all, and I'm amazed at his talent. I was like, that is so good. Like, he is locked in. But anywho, obviously there's a bunch of great different versions, but just like, oh, her version of Defying Gravity, it's just so good. Like, I can't stop listening to it, and it like gets me emotional every time. And just that entire scene is so good. And just, ooh. Also, she is the most, like, you're on your own kid coded.
Yes, big time.
That is their song. Also, can I just say, because I've seen some TikTok edits of this, I'm like, yes, thank you. Since day one, since I first ever heard the song My Tears Ricochet, I was like, this is some wicked coded shit right here. Like, for the very first time I ever heard that song, and to see all the people making edits to it, I was like, thank you, thank you. Also, I've always interpreted that song to be more about like a friendship for some reason than I have about like a relationship, which again, in Wicked, it could go either way. But I was like, thank you, because this song to me has always been Wicked coded, and I'm so happy that I'm not the only person. I was like, validation.
Other people
apparently also think this and have been making some really brilliant edits, so yay to that.
I love it. Oh, so good. Amazing. 10 out of 10. Costuming was amazing. Set design was amazing. Everything was amazing. Yes.
Also, thank you. Like, practical sets, bring them back, Hollywood. Like, nothing ever looks as good as a practical set. Like, thank you for using them. Now that we have yapped for 30 minutes about Wicked and other such Thanksgiving break things, anything else before we jump into saying anything?
Yes, one more thing. I watched Return to Oz this weekend, which is a fantastic movie, 10 out of 10. If you've never seen Return to Oz, get on Disney Plus and watch it because it's very good. But I was thinking about the sets and stuff because like there's a character who's just like a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. And it's instead of like a CGI like pumpkin, it's like literally a man, like with a pumpkin. Yes. Like I'm like, or it might not be a man, but I'm like, oh my God.
10 out of 10.
So much better than. Yes. Also, that movie is fucking crazy.
It always, it's a wild ride. I have really not seen it in a very long time, but it's wild, but it's very good.
Have you watched it as an adult?
No, I don't think
you
so.
Need to.
I need to. Okay. Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. I literally have not seen it in forever. And it's because, yeah, obviously a lot of people have been talking about different like Oz things with Wicked coming out. And I saw someone else post something about Return to Oz and I was like, I almost forgot that like existed.
Yeah, it was like, it was literally one of my favorite movies growing up. I watched it all the time. And I think about it almost, it's my Roman Empire. I think about it at least once a day. Normally when I think about it, I'm thinking about the room with the heads.
Yes.
And I just, it's I can't even, but anyway, now we could,
one more thing. So speaking of Oz related content, I also recently learned that my friend who again was one who initiated like the girls trip, not trip, but like girls viewing, I guess. The more I swear to God, y'all, the more she says, I'm like, what? She was on Who Didn't Know It Was a Musical, and I was like, that's kind of shocking, but okay. And then didn't know that it was related to The Wizard of Oz, and I was like, what? that I can't understand. But now I understand because she just realized after watching Wicked this weekend, she texted me and she goes, I actually realized I've never seen The Wizard of Oz. I've only ever seen The Wiz. And I was like, you've never seen The Wizard of Oz? Like, that's wild to me. So that's now required viewing for her, obviously. But I love that her only, like, Oz experience has been The Wiz. Which, like, respect. Like, honestly, it's not the greatest movie, but it has a cult following. It's good in its own right. And, yeah, so that was just really funny to me that she now has realized she actually has never seen The Wizard of Oz. And I was like, well, no wonder none of these things are making sense to you.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
I was like, welcome to Oz. I'm really going to need you to go watch The Wizard of Oz now. Yes. I was a big Wizard of Oz girly when I was little. I dressed up for Dorothy for Halloween, I think, like at least 3 years. It was really just. I just loved the ruby red slippers, y'all. I was really into that. Maybe probably I'm Dorothy.
I dressed up as a witch like a million times.
Got to. If you weren't in your witch era at some point as a child for Halloween, what were you doing with your life?
Honestly.
Truly.
Okay. Shall we get to the point of this episode?
Yes. We're doing it now, everyone. Welcome back. If you bopped out for a minute for Wicked spoilers, we're now going to actually discuss chapter 12.
Yes.
And speaking of how This Generation's Glee came out, I was like, yes, I still as a millennial woman recap our podcast being like, and that's what you missed on Glee, because that's just in my head forever. Okay, quick recap. Kali, I don't know, it's been a minute since we've read. What did we most recently read? Stuff you know, our girl Sydney, she's her brother paralyzed a guy in a drunk driving accident. Mom is like about it. They had a dinner. That's what we most recently read. They had a dinner, and this like family rights lady, prisoners rights lady came over and the lawyer honestly was the only one talking sense, but Mom didn't like the sense he was talking. And there's the Chatham family, and they're lovely. Layla is great. Mac is great. Mrs. Chatham is great. Rosie and Dad, we don't know as well, but they seem pretty great. And that pretty much sums it up. That's what you missed on Glee, chapter 12. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay. So this chapter starts off really fun. Well, yeah, no, fun. And it explains the cover, and I love it. So they're walking in the woods. Irv, Mac, Eric, Layla, and Sydney, of course, our MC. Lila climbs on to Irv's back, so he gives her piggyback ride. And this is the same night that she has that conversation with Mrs. Chatham about her brother. And she said she's grateful that after that, there was just chaos in the house. Mac, Eric, Ford came inside to raid the fridge. Then Rosie showed up with a couple of her Mariposa friends. We'll talk about them. And then Dad came home and he has like his whole band and blah, blah, blah. So it was like, she loved it, basically. She was like, after the constant quiet of my own house since Peyton had been gone, I expected the contrast to be overwhelming. Instead, I found that I liked the constant hum and noise, the fullness of many people and much energy in a small space. I could hang back and just watch, yet still feel involved. It was nice.
Yes.
I love that there's just like this little warm, cozy house and family for her to go to during such a shitty time.
Yeah, it's desperately needed. So that is, yes, that makes my heart happy.
So yes, so they're walking in the woods. Mac has a huge duffel bag. And finally, it sounds like after like 40 minutes.
It's a large woods.
Yes.
They're braver than I am. And that, like, the nighttime, you're going out into the woods? Nah, wouldn't catch me there.
As a teenager, we drank in the woods.
Wow. You are the bravest person I've ever met.
Brave or
stupid? A little bit of both. Okay. Also, I swear to God, y'all, we really are going to read this chapter. But this is another thing that happened in the week that you all missed. So Michaelyn mentioned that she wanted to like do a girls thing where we would just go and like scream in a cabin in the woods or whatever. We've kind of like mentioned it on the podcast a little bit. Well, she actually put it together and it's a whole group of us and it's going to be delightful. We're going to go in the spring. Yay. But she put a group text thread together to, you know, kind of introduce everyone, look at some options, see what dates might work for people. And I was at work, and I am not someone who can, like, have my phone on me at work because that's, like, constant go, 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 patience, blah, 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 whatever. And I didn't even have a lunch that day because sometimes I work through lunch, and it happened to be one of those days. So all of a sudden, my Apple Watch starts blowing up, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I get a separate text from Mike Land being like, hey, sorry, you're going to get to work and, like, see, like, 18,000 text messages, like, started a group chat, da, da, da. And I was like, okay. So yeah, when I got out of work, I had like no lie, 200 text messages. And I scrolled up, baby. I was like, I'm going to catch up. Like, what did I miss? So I read the entire thing, like in like a Walgreens parking lot, I think actually, because I had to like run to the store that night. But anywho, just had to share that with you all because it was very funny.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait for that trip, by the way.
Yes, but yeah, speaking of the woods, I was like, speaking of screaming in a cabin in the woods. But yes, the rules are no men, no Republicans. So we're very excited.
Yep. There is one boy coming. His name is Hudson. Yeah, he's a puppy. He's so cute.
So he's allowed because he's a furry boy. So we like our little furry friends. You know, she kind of, the person who asked if it was okay, which was very nice, was like, hey, is it okay there, blah, blah, blah. And I, of course, am the only person who's allergic to dogs, and I was away from my phone the whole day, but it's totally fine. I have been in a house with dogs. I live with a hypoallergenic dog, so it's different. But when I like go to my in-laws, I stay. So I wasn't, she was, it's a golden retriever, right? Like I stay with golden retriever, whatever. I just have to make sure I take my allergy meds. So I was like, oh, I wouldn't have opposed, honestly, but it was just funny. I was like, oh, the one person who may have actually had an issue, but at this point, everyone else has said it's okay. So like 5 hours later, I can't be like, actually, but no, honestly, I wouldn't have opposed anyways. But it was just funny. I was like, okay, just have to make sure to pack my allergy meds.
Yes, double up.
But honestly, being out like in a different area than my own, I would do that anyhow because like, you know, there's different pollen and whatever. So like, it's good. But yes, I'm going to still love on him because I love doggos, even though their dander and purr doesn't love me.
Yeah.
But that's not their fault. They're still good boys and girls.
They are. They're perfect angels.
Yes. This world too pure.
So they land in a... They land. They end up in a clearing in the middle of the woods and... There is a carousel there. It's like rusty and broken down and abandoned, but still like works if they push it. They don't know where it came from. They don't know anything, which is just like magical. I wrote here. Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll get to what I wrote. But It doesn't even really seem like they were there that long, but they have a couple beers. Eric takes her to look at Eric's like hitting on her.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac comes over and kind of like separates that. And she's like, okay, bye. Get away from me. Mac is my dream boy. And Layla comes over. She's like, what are you guys doing? And Eric leaves. And so Layla just like follows him. And it's just Wes and Sydney, and it's very cute. And he says, I'm sorry about your brother.
Say Wes, are we time traveling back to the Truth About Brother? When you start combining your Sarah Dessen love interest.
Mac. Three letters is hard.
Yeah.
Mac. So he is like, I heard what happened to your brother. I'm sorry. And she said, it didn't happen to him. He did something. There's a difference.
I love that line. Absolutely.
I love that line. Mm-hmm. So good. I was like, exactly. Perfect explanation. But she's like, kind of like, oh God, I shouldn't have gotten that mad. So she kind of like moves on from it. She's like, I just have a tender spot. And he's like, everyone has one. And then they start talking about how he used to be a fat, pimply kid and how it just like ruined his mental health. And so he started working out. And we've kind of already gotten this story, but he's just like, I can't believe I ever looked like that and blah, blah, blah. We find out that the charm on his necklace is actually the patron saint of children. So we got a couple Catholics in here. Holla. Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to our fellow Catholics. Yeah, this chapter, I was like, oh, we're getting a lot. We're getting like, we're kind of starting to learn maybe why the book title is called that. I was like, okay, a saint. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, the carousel cover. So I was like, oh, things are really coming together here.
Yes, I love it. And he says he keeps it on as a reminder because when he was at his heaviest, the necklace didn't fit and it like gave him welts and he had to take it off. But he keeps it as like a memory so he doesn't forget what he lost. And she said it was weird hearing this, like no longer having something could be a good thing and the proof of it as well. I was used to the opposite when absence equaled heartbreak. This poor girl, she's really been through it.
Yes. Yeah, this is also how I know I'm like so tuned in to like maintenance phase. As I was reading this little bit, I was like, I'm getting like a little like it was like handled like mostly okay, but some of it was like anytime there's like, and I understand like, hey, if you lose a bunch of weight and you're happy with it, like right on, but like also there's nothing wrong with the weight that he was and you know whatever. So yeah, like I just like kept like kind of like the couple pages. I was like a little like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm gonna like where this is going. I think overall, especially the year it came out, it was handled pretty well. And obviously, it's something that like Mac is happy with and whatever. And like that's good. That's not, like as you know, if his mental health has improved from it, then that's great. But yeah, I was like, don't like just make it. Yeah. I'm like, careful.
Yeah, there were like a couple lines that I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, not how I would have talked about that. But it's, you know, but again, it's like this isn't even, you know, Sarah's opinion on things. This is Mac's view of himself. And the way a teenage boy mm-hmm. talks about himself is going to be different. And like, that's the thing to kind of like keep in mind about this. But yeah, it was like, yeah. I am so like brainwashed, I guess you could say, by maintenance phase that I get like so touchy about this subject.
Yeah, seriously.
Brainwashed in a good way.
Brainwashed in a good way. So then Eric comes back over and he's like, what are you guys doing? You're sequestered over here. And he says, Max says, how many beers have you had? And he's like, an infinitesimal amount. And this is how they know that he's smashed, because when he starts using big words, that means he's really drunk. Which is hilarious. I love that. He's like, yes. I am perfectly compos mentis.
I love that he's a lightweight. That makes me happy for some reason.
Yes. I love his like character, so like goofy, and like he's such a teenage boy, you know, like yeah. He really is.
Like he's like harmless. Like, he's one of those people that's like kind of like a dick, but like a harmless dick. Like, he's kind of like himbo energy, you know? And like, yes, I love that for him.
A musical songwriter himbo energy.
Yes, exactly. Like, he's a little pretentious and like whatever, but like, he's harmless.
He's harmless. So they decide they need to walk home. And during the walk home, well, first of all, Eric tries to sing a song to Sydney about her, and then they're like, okay, we gotta go. It's time to go. Eventually Irv has to carry Eric. Nope, we're not there yet. But before they leave, they're doing one ride on the carousel. So Irv and Mac have to push it. So they're sitting on these horses and they're pushing the carousel, and it's going faster and faster. She says, it turned slowly at first with a fair amount of creaking, but within a minute or so, we were moving at a good clip. As my horse rose, I could feel the wind in my hair. Up ahead, Layla reared back, laughing. We moved quickly, then faster still, the night and woods big and wide all around us. It was one of those moments that, even while it was happening, I knew I would remember forever. Even before the ring came into view and my grasp. I didn't reach for it, though. I didn't need to. I felt like I had already won. This is just, like, this is the kind of, like, youthful magic you can only really experience when you're a child.
Yes.
And I love that for her. I love that she got that little, like, magical in such a dark time, our girl.
Yeah, even though I am not someone who used to go drinking in the woods, because again, the woods creep me out. Something about this chapter was like so reminiscent to me about like hanging out with my friends as a teenager. Like, it just, yes, it was that perfect. I'm like, yes, this is what being a teenager is. Like, this is what, yeah, being like young and kind of dumb is. But like that fun sort of, and just like, yes, for our girl Sydney, she needs this. I'm so happy for her.
I'm so happy for her. So then they walk back. And Irv has to carry, what's his face? Eric, because he's like passed out drunk. They put him in the shed. And when they put him in the shed, Layla covers him with a sleeping bag, tucks it in around him, and then she smooths his forehead with her hand, lingering there as she shushed him. So our girl Layla is desperately in love with Eric.
Yep. 100%. 100%. I was like, ooh, I see what's happening here.
I like did not see that coming, to be honest. But I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
You
can keep him humble, which he needs, you know?
He definitely needs somebody to keep him humble. He's a little much. So then they get back to the house and it's like still packed, and Rosie is actually singing and she has like a beautiful voice and it's wonderful. It's a whole moment. They get some snacks. Mac is eating like that was another thing I was thinking about maintenance phase two, was like whatever the fuck these crackers are. I was like,
yes,
I need Aubrey Gordon to do episode where she talks about these crackers.
Please do a taste test. Talk about these crackers, Aubrey. We need to hear it.
We need to hear it. Aubrey Graham?
You're right. Aubrey Gordon. You said it right.
Yeah. Gordon. Yeah. Aubrey Graham is Drake.
Yeah. That's
pedophile.
It's the pedophile. Yeah. Never confuse the two of them. One of them is lovely. One of them is terrible.
Terrible. Trash. Sydney eats his little crackers with his hummus, even though it's disgusting. And I love that.
That you've got it bad, ladies, when you're willing to eat the nasty crackers with the hummus. Mm.
Especially when there's warm Pop-Tarts with frosting right there.
I also think it's interesting. Okay, my question about this Pop-Tart scenario is, are these unfrosted Pop-Tarts that they then are putting frosting in? Or are they already frosted Pop-Tarts that they're putting extra frosting on? Because I was like, I am a Pop-Tart girly, but I've never had a Pop-Tart and then dipped it in or put more frosting on it. I was like, oh, okay, I see you.
I was assuming it was the unfrosted ones.
I hope
frosted
so.
Frosted would be crazy.
And that just seems like a lot, right? If it was frosted. I'm like, that might be too sweet, even for me. And I have a terrible sweet tooth. So, yeah. Yeah, when your rest of your friends are chowing down on delicious warm Pop-Tarts and you're like, yeah, I'll have your nasty grain crackers.
Quackers.
Your quackers. That's when you know.
No, you got it bad when you're eating the quackers and everyone's got Pop-Tarts. Everyone's got Pop-Tarts.
Sorry. <that's> the end of me trying to remix that song.
So Rosie comes in the kitchen at this point and she's like, are those my Pop-Tarts? And Layla's like, they didn't have your name on them, so we're eating them. And she has two friends with her. And the brunette had on leggings and a Mariposa sweatshirt featuring the trademark pink butterfly character I remembered from the Saturday morning cartoons of my childhood. The blonde was in shorts and a crop top, displaying one of the most perfect sets of abs I'd ever seen. So she introduces the brunette steps in front of them. And she's like, I'm Lucy. And you are? To Mac. And Rosie's like, he's 17. And she's like, I love 17. How old are you?
You
gotta be 18.
Yeah. I was like, ah. I literally just put yikes there.
Yeah.
Didn't like that one bit.
But they introduce her and then the blonde is just like, just stands there. She doesn't say anything. We don't even know her name. And then we find out that Rosie has decided that her and all her friends are going to sleep in Layla's room. So Layla and Sydney are going to be sleeping in Mac's room and Mac is going to be sleeping on the couch.
Yes. Mac gives up his room like a gentleman, like a boy in love.
Mm-hmm. He's so sweet. Mr. Chatham calls Rosie back in to sing, and Mac sighs, and Irv says, how many beers has he had? And says, not as many as he will, which I thought was funny, but also alarming.
Slightly concerning. Slightly concerning.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, that could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's like, I'll sleep on the couch. And Lucy's like, oh, he's a gentleman. This, like, Lucy girl is literally all over Mac. It's, like, weird. It would be uncomfortable even if they were the same age, I think. Because yeah. It's just, like, yeah. So aggressive.
She's coming on real hard for someone who has shown zero interest. You just met him. And he has shown zero, like, you know, reciprocation in this. Back off, chicky poo.
Yeah. Especially because he's 17. So Layla's like, I hate her friends. Like, they're so gross. If the little girls who bought their tickets only knew. And then they're singing and Rosie's singing and people are stamping.
They're doing some bluegrassing.
Lovely yes. Family night.
Yeah.
I feel warm just reading about it.
Right. It seems like chaotic, but like chaotic in a good way.
Yeah. So then we get a dot, dot, dot or star, star, star. And it's about 2 hours later. They're in Mac's room. This is when we find out that Mac is like some sort of super genius who like gets clocks at yard sales and thrift stores and like disassembles them and then reassembles them to work better. Also in his room is a map of Lakeview dotted with pencil marks. And I would kill to see a map of Lakeview. Get me a map of Lakeview. Please.
Please. Can we get a map of Lakeview? Oh, my God. Honestly, the dream.
The dream.
Yes.
But, yeah. And she's like, oh, he should, like Layla's like, I wish he would go to college for, like, engineering or something, but he won't. He's just going to run the pizza shop. And this is when we kind of find out that it's assumed that Mac is going to take over the pizza shop, but actually Layla is the one that wants to do it because she has no interest in school or anything. And she's like, let me just take this business over and let Mac like be who he's supposed to be.
Yes. Which is like sad and also just like very archaic. Like, well, grandpa passed it down to dad. So of course it'll go to the man in the family. We'll run the business. And it's like, why? Like he has, like, he wants to go do something else. And, yeah, Layla's there being like, I'll do it gladly. I don't want to effing go to school.
Right. She's like, get me out of here. Layla brings up the article here. And Sydney admits that she was worried sending it to her because she thought that they might judge. And she's like, girl, we're not like everyone else. Haven't you figured that out yet? Like, we're not going to judge. Like, come on. And Layla says, if it were me, I would want to apologize to David Ibarra. And she was like, I do. And this is like the first time somebody has like completely understood that she came to that conclusion on her own. And she was like, yes, I want to apologize so bad.
Only think about.
But she says, like, it wouldn't really do anything for him. It would only help her.
Right.
And yeah, she's like, Layla's like, if this was a movie, you guys would like fall in love. And she's like, well, this isn't a movie.
I like that, which I'm like, that's so true. If this was like a Lifetime movie or something, that is how it would play out.
Yep. Mac pops in. He's like, hey, Layla, mom's calling for you. Mac is then just standing there. Yes, he's standing in the doorway. Mr. Chatham sees Sydney, doesn't know who she is. It's clear on his face. Layla comes back. She's like, it's just the woozies. Sometimes my mom gets confused because of all her medicine. And then they kind of talk about like how there's no cure and it's only going to get worse. And they kind of have like this moment where they kind of sit with that grief. Like she says, the sad solidness of tone that came with the acceptance of an unpleasant fact. And it's like, yeah, sometimes you just got to sit there and be like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah, that's, sorry. I'm trying to sit here in this moment. And instead my dog is going crazy because my husband just came home. But yes, yeah. And that's going to be that's the thing about that, like, you know, something that is kind of a degenerative disease where it just, you know, slowly kind of wears you a time. It's like you sit with it for so long and in your day to day, you don't think about it. But every once in a while, like something like that happens and it must just like hit you like a brick. Like, oh yeah, like she's never going to get better. Actually, she's just going to get worse. And like, you don't know when that's going to be. And I just can't imagine, like, that is just like very heavy and just got to be, it's very difficult.
So she goes out into the hallway to help. She helps Mac clean. He's like, it will just be gross and stinky if in here if we don't clean. And again, Mac says, like, Rosie's always had a bit of an entitlement complex. Funny, she never ends up on the couch. Layla again is like, I'll sleep out here, I don't mind. And he's like, the dogs would eat you alive. Which is hilarious. And then they talk about how bad the gas is. And Layla is like, don't ever think of letting them under your covers. You'll dream you're suffocating. True story. You need another. And then she's like, you need another garbage bag. So they finish the job together. And then Mac took the sleeping bag and pillow to the couch. And the girls went to bed. She's like, can't stop thinking about, like, she's like, I'm in Mac's bed. She's like, picturing Mac like laying there. She's like, oh my god,
can't sleep. Like, she's so dreamy.
He's so dreamy. I'm in his bed. Oh my god. He has this alarm clock that he rigged to like display the time on the ceiling, which is interesting. Ahead of his time, I'd say.
Yeah.
Layla is like, I have to get up early tomorrow morning because I take care of my mom on Sundays. So she falls asleep basically like right away at 1:26. But Sydney is not tired. So she starts to hear voices in the living room. It's a girl's voice, and then there's like a lower timbre. And at 1:50, when things got quiet, she was like, oh my god, I have to pee. So she had to get out of bed. At 1:59, she went to the bathroom. The first thing she saw was Lucy, of course. She was in a tank top and pajama shorts, her hair loose over her shoulders. Mac was beside her, his eyes on the TV. He's like glued into this infomercial because he's like, yeah, he's like so uncomfortable.
It's so like, girlfriend, you're at your friend's house and you corner this poor guy. Like, he is just like trying to sleep on this couch and you go out there and they're like, like, that's so awkward and so wrong. And, like, people are so creepy. Freaking Ames, creeper. And now this Lucy. And, I like, yeah. The other thing I think is very, great about this, and not great about this, but like Sarah including this, is I love that like this entire book we've had this creepy guy. And I like that she chose this opportunity to be like, girls can do this too. Like, you can also like, oh, I love 17. And like, put like either way, like people can be put in like weird, awkward, pressured situations. And there is like such a, you know, it's one of those things that I feel like sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, what guy wouldn't want to be hit on by older? They, a lot of them, like no one wants to be hit on by someone that they don't want to be hit on. Okay. Like no one wants, you know,
exactly.
Unsolicited, like, ugh, gross.
Right, exactly. So Mac is like, is everything okay? And she starts to head back to the bedroom, and he's like, hey, is the alarm clock bothering you? Because I can turn it off. At this point, Lucy is like laying her head on his shoulder, and he's looking at Sydney like, get me out of here, please, for the love. So she's like, you know what? Yes, I do need you to come in here and shut that off. Thank you. So they go in, they kind of hide in the room, and Sydney's like, she's pretty intense. And he's like, that's one word for it. And he like clearly doesn't want to go out there. And so she's like, you can stay if you want until she goes to bed. It is your room. Like, I'm fine on the floor. And he was like, no, I'm on the floor, obviously, because I'm a gentleman. They have a little fight over a pillow. She's trying to give him the pillow. He's like, I'm not taking the pillow. Back and forth, back and forth. They have like a little pillow fight. It's very cute.
Yes.
It's one of those cute Sarah Dessen couple moments.
Yes.
So then after a little while at 2:15 a.m. I like how we have a whole like timeline of this.
Timeline of us.
Lucy like opens the door and she's like, Mac, are you there? Like, hello. And they both just pretend to be asleep and say nothing. And she goes away. And Sydney is like, just go to sleep before she comes back. And he does, they fall asleep, and she didn't think she was going to sleep well, but she does, but she gets jerked awake at 4:32 from a deep, thick dream. Interesting. The details of which disappeared the moment I opened my eyes. She blinked, rolled over, taking in Layla, still curled up, and then Mac, who'd shifted away from the desk and now lay on his side, one hand stretched in my direction. He was sound asleep, I knew, and not at all aware of this. What you do in your dreams is never your choice, but it made me happy anyway.
I'm just so happy that she's found this family. Like, everything about this, like, it's just like such a teenage night sleepover. Like, I've had those nights at my friends' houses, like I said, like, and just little flirty bants, creepy Lucy, but everything else, it just like warms my heart, this like that, yeah, she had this night and she has this family instead of being at her cold house where no one talks to each other and it's miserable.
Yep.
Yes. Kind of like in a sense, a happier chapter for saying anything.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. Yes. It was uplifting. It was warm. It was cozy. Yes. Cozy chapter,
yes.
I'd say.
Yes, a very cozy show. That's a great way to describe it. Yes. Wrapping up for today. That has been Saying Anything, chapter 12. Come join us on Thursday, where we will be discussing A Holiday Touchdown, A Chief's Love Story, a Hallmark modern classic, if I do say so myself. That's going to be chaos this week, besides what other random things pop into our brain, probably more wicked things, because that's our brain right now. So yeah, thanks for coming and holding space for chapter 12, a little bit of wicked talk and Thanksgiving excitement. Happy Vagina Christmas, everyone. Go out there and spread Vagina Christmas.
Yes. And like and subscribe and share our stuff and like our stuff and leave us reviews and tell us that we're pretty and you love us.
Yes. Thank you. You know, I love compliments. Give us compliments. Yes.
Me too. Take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Bye.